The Kraft Music Hall, starring Bing Crosby and Bob Burns, with Connie Boswell, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, and the Music Maids. Bing's special guests for this evening are Lionel Barrymore and Eddie Bracken of the cinema, and two of the world's outstanding percussionists, Thurston Knudsen and Augie Goupil. And here's Bing Crosby.
There are blues that you get from worry. There are blues that you get from pain. And there are blues when you're lonely, for you're one and only. Those blues you never can explain. There are blues that you get from longing, but the bluest blues that be are the sort of blues that's on my mind. They're the very meanest kind, blues my naughty sweetie gives to me.
There are blues that you may get when you start to worry. There are dreary blues you get from fame. And there are blues when you're lonely, for you're one and only. The blues you never explain.
Oh, there are blues that you get from longing, but the bluest blues that be are the sort of blues that's on my mind. They're the very meanest kind, blues my naughty sweetie gives to me.
Nice going there, Bing, nice going. How'd you like that, Robin?
I want to tell you, Connie, I was just saying to myself. I says, Robin, them five girls are getting to sing prettier and prettier.
Well, I ain't going to argue with you about that, but how about Bing?
I've often wondered.
Well, I thought he really come on there the last eight bars. Man, he went all out.
Say, Connie, I hate to be picky here, but ain't you getting kind of sick of everybody using that expression, all out? All I've been hearing lately is the world going all out for all out. I can remember when the expression all out was used only by conductors. Yeah, now even my Aunt Pudgy, that's her name, that's my stout aunt. My Aunt Pudgy wrote me that she sent away to a mail order house in St. Louis and got herself a new two-way stretch all-out girdle.
An all-out girdle?
Yeah, but Aunt Pudgy says she couldn't get it all in.
You're just trying to change the subject there, Robin. I asked you how you liked Bing singing, and you won't even give me an answer. Now, what you got against that boy?
Well, now, what makes you think I got anything against Bing? Why, I worship the ground that man walks on. At least I did worship the ground he walked on.
When was that?
Last time I showed him over my place in the valley.
And so, friends, we leave Brogswell and Squirms, a guy and a gal killing the people on the runway of the Waldorf Cellar, dissolve back into the old Kraft Music Hall, where over and above the aforementioned characters, we're happy to have with us such notables as Eddie Bracken, star of RKO's picture Too Many Girls, Augie Goupil and Thurston Knudsen, percussionist extraordinaire, and Mr. Lionel Barrymore. Yesterday, Lionel Barrymore finished his work with Wally Beery on Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's new screen version of The Bad Man. And today, Lionel started on another tour of duty as Dr. Gillespie in the Kildare series. Always one of the busiest Barrymores in Hollywood, Lionel hasn't really let down on his work in years. It's a wonderful thing, Lionel. I mean the way you've been appearing in one picture right after another, year after year after year. I don't know how you stand it.
I don't know how the public stands it.
Don't worry, if they'll hold still for Bob Hope and me, they'll take anything.
Bing's right, Lionel. I mean about you working so much. With three of you Barrymores in the business, I don't see why you have to do all the work.
Well, Bob, my sister Ethel was always the talented one of the family. As for me, work's developed into a sort of bad habit. Now, John became the greatest Hamlet of his generation. Played it in Shakespeare's hometown, too, which is a top spot for an actor. Now, after that, there wasn't much in particular left for him to do. So he's been doing that mighty well ever since.
Yeah, I certainly can't deny that. You know, he goes on the radio right next door with Rudy Valley in just a few minutes.
It's a funny thing. Now, John's next door with Rudy Valley and me here with Bing Crosby. If we could only find a crooner for Ethel now.
Say, why don't you do something about that, Bing? Why don't you mention Ethel's name to Dick Todd?
Dick Todd and I are not speaking.
Say, you know, on second thought, Ethel might be able to work better with you, Burns.
Well, now, Lionel, I'm awful flattered to hear you say that.
Yeah, I think she'd be fine with you, you know, when you consider how successful she is right now in that play, The Corn is Green.
Certainly. See, with Bob, she could make Arkansas saute.
Well, you know something, Bing?
Huh?
I'm surprised Lionel Barrymore even talks to you and Bob.
He is.
Well, I mean, a man like him who's really done something worthwhile in the theater.
Yeah.
Gosh, Lionel, must be wonderful to portray a character.
Well, portraying a character's all right. The trouble is when it comes to really being a character. Men like Burns overdo it.
Now, you don't seem to get what I mean. Now, you take that Dr. Gillespie in the Kildare pictures. When I see you do that part, Lionel, I really and truly believe you're a doctor. I don't think you're an actor.
Well, neither do I.
Now, wait a minute, Lionel. You're not going to disillusion all us movie fans about the way you feel that you're really being a doctor.
Now, Connie, if I were really a doctor, would I be here now?
Why not? We could use a doctor around here. You've kind of made Burns and Crosby look sick.
Well, now, if you really want a doctor, I'll give you one. The best kind of doctor the world has ever known. Modern specialists know a lot more, and they certainly charge a lot more, but no man will ever transcend in human understanding the plain, old-fashioned country doctor. I'm afraid there aren't many of them left.
That's a very nice tribute to a fine group of men, Lionel.
Well, I read a better one a few days ago in the March issue of the magazine Hygieia.
Oh, yeah, that's the magazine put out by the American Medical Association.
Yeah, that's right. This piece I read was written by a doctor, William P. Rice, M.D. And he called it Elegy by a Country Doctor. It goes like this. Should I meet death somewhere today, though I should cringe, my head I'd bow. I'd have to meet him anyway in some such place sometime, somehow. Though my humble life's been passed in poverty, distress, and strife, I'm satisfied to go at last. I've had my day. I've lived my life. I've known a mother's tender care, the love light of her soft blue eyes, the pleading of her evening prayer, the crooning of her lullabies. I've known a father, stern but good, who earned our bread by sweat of brow. Man I never understood while there was time. But I do now. I've known a sweetheart's first shy kiss, like nectar from the gods above, a golden honeymoon of bliss with her who bore me sons to love. No wealth in houses, stocks, or bonds may take the place of baby's smile. The heart tugs of his tiny hands are things that truly are worthwhile. Through him, when I'm returned to slime, the spark of life God gave to me will march down corridors of time till time becomes eternity. I've known delusions, grand but vain, have been puffed up till I nearly burst, then found my sanity again in pain and hunger, toil and thirst. I've known grim foes and loyal friends, and both have helped to mold my soul. Both aided me to meet my ends, assisted me to make my goal. Midst loud applause, some fights I've won, or coming foe in combat fair, against some sore defeats I've run, by all abandoned, save despair. Though better men have fought me down, some few rewards have come to me. I've got some standing in my town. I've earned a medical degree. I've practiced amongst God's helpless poor, who couldn't stand the great expense of calling experts to their door. Their thanks to me was recompense. I've held out hope to ailing folks, and many fevered brows I've laved, laying fear with quips and jokes. I think perhaps some lives I've saved. I've helped babes draw their first sweet breath at midnight or the break of day. I've eased the agonies of death. I've helped to lay the dead away. I've seen the horse and buggy go, the electric spark make day of night, the advent of the radio, the ocean spanned by airplane flight. I've seen the cinema mature and greater gifts of God to man, free surgery brought to the poor, serums, vaccine, and salvacin. I've been weak. I've played the knave. I've run out on men whose cause seemed lost. I've been strong and I've been brave. I've stuck and reckoned not the cost. And when I reach the Elysian sod beneath the bright and golden shore, I hope to see the face of God and dwell with him forevermore. So let him come. Let death come. Bear my living soul away. Change my body into dust. I've lived my life. Yes, I've had my day.
That's mighty beautiful, Lionel.
Well, now, the author, Dr. William P. Rice, will certainly appreciate your saying that, I'm sure.
If I were Dr. Rice, I'd certainly be happy to have heard my poem get such a wonderful reading.
Huh. See, I didn't know you liked to read poems, Lionel. I'd been to see you a long time ago about the works of my portrait writing Uncle Oliver. That's my Uncle Oliver Wendell Hink.
Well, now, I'd be delighted to meet you, Uncle Oliver, Bob. You know, I could break the news to him that you didn't really invent the bazooka. A fellow named Joshua blew down the walls of Jericho with a big bass bazooka.
You get yourself out of that, Bob, while I sung once, didn't I, or did I? Yeah, I sung. You go ahead, Connie. You make it even, Stephen. You sing.
Yeah. Everything is even, Stephen, now. You'll have time to knit yourself some brown. Oh, I was so naive then. You thought you'd try to be smart, but you were deceiving, and that's hitting below the heart. Honey, you're receiving lots of air. Settle down and play some solitaire. Pardon me, for I am leaving. Got a new love to believe in. Everything is even, Stephen, now. Stephen, now you'll have time to knit yourself some brows. I was so naive then. You thought you'd try to be smart, but you were deceiving, and that's hitting below the heart. Honey, you're receiving lots of air. You better settle down and play some solitaire. Oh, pardon me, for I am leaving. Got a new love to believe in. Everything is even, Stephen. Everything is even, Stephen, now.
Well, that makes it even, Stephen, with you and me, Connie. Now, if Carpenter would just step up and make it even, Stephen, for the craft people. If he would just step up and...
Here's an idea for Lent, which we think will be helpful to all homemakers. Tomorrow morning when you order your groceries, ask for a 2-pound box of Velveeta. That's the rich yet mild cheese food which is such a help with Lenten menus. Velveeta, you see, cooks perfectly, and it's a fine, nutritious food worthy of being the mainstay of your meals. For instance, Velveeta is rich in milk protein and milk minerals, and it's rich in vitamins A and G. But naturally, it's the Velveeta flavor that's made this cheese food a favorite in millions of homes. Toasted sandwiches with a mellow heart of Velveeta's goodness. Velveeta rarebits and sauces, smooth as satin, the color of a marigold. tantalizing little snacks spread with Velveeta, perhaps even stolen out of the icebox at midnight, but eaten with a clear conscience because this cheese food is digestible as milk itself. All of these good things you'll be having at your house when you keep a thrifty 2-pound loaf of Velveeta on hand regularly. This cheese food, of course, also comes in the familiar half-pound Kraft package. Get some tomorrow for a Friday main dish with a tempting cheese flavor and for slicing and spreading, too.
Chanting as a dream, you walk by and dim the sunlight's gleam. You speak words and shame the birds that sing. Your smile is softer than the touch of spring. You walk by and children pause at play. You walk by, December seems like May. Heaven is right here and not above. When you walk by, my love. Children pause at play. You walk by, December seems like May. Heaven is right here and not above. When you walk by, my love.
Remembered for his standout work in George Abbott's RKO picture version of the Broadway stage success Too Many Girls, Eddie Bracken, Nick Scracken, Eddie Bracken, is one of Hollywood's most recent and most successful acquisitions. You'll catch him soon with Joel McRae in Paramount's forthcoming film, Reaching for the Sun, and you'll love him. At the mall, Eddie's busy over on the same lot. He's trying to snare a snicker or two from Bob Hacker Hope in a job called Caught in the Draft. Never knowing where said draft might strike next, we invited young Eddie Bracken over to the Old Kraft Music Hall at his earliest convenience, hoping that he'd get here before being apprehended by the long arm of Selective Service.
Well, that's nice of you to say that, Bing, but if it wants me, the service can't be so selective.
Oh, I don't know, Eddie. Seems to me you're just the type of fine young American manhood the service is looking for.
Wait until they get a load of my fine young American flat feet.
Well, regardless of your lack of arches, Eddie, the service that I've known, the service I've dedicated my life to, the service will find a place for you as the service has found a place for many a lad like you. In fact, Eddie, when I retired, it was a lad like yourself who took my place. He'd worked himself up from the ranks in the service, but not without some difficulty. Oh, no, no, not without misgivings. Well, do I remember one day when he came to me, his eyes bloodshot, his voice cracking, almost hysterical.
I can't stand it. I can't stand it. I tell you, it's not human. Up and down, up and down. Call me quitter if you want to. Call me deserter. Do what you want to me, but I'm through, do you hear? I'm quitting the service.
Gad, lad, pull yourself together here. Think what you're saying.
I'm quitting the service, I tell you. Quitting, quitting, quitting.
You've been drinking.
No, I haven't been drinking. I've been thinking.
That's also forbidden in the service. An elevator operator is not expected to think.
That's why I don't want to be an elevator operator.
You don't... Now, pull yourself together, lad, and be glad that nobody heard you here. When you've been in the service longer and grown to understand it better, you love it.
I know all there is to know about the service. I'm not the first in my family to run an elevator.
No, and if you can remember your directions, you shan't be the last. Just think, someday you might even get to be a starter like me.
I don't want to be a starter like you. Instead of going up and down, you stay on the main floor and play with your castanets.
Yeah. Sit down, lad. Sit down here a moment. Think what you're saying. Don't let the elevator service be ashamed of you.
Why not? I'm ashamed of the service.
Ashamed of the service?
Yeah, it's terrible. Every tenant in this building tells me it's terrible. I'm quitting.
Now, easy. Easy, son. Stop and think a moment here. Yours is a big name in the elevator service. Your grandfather operated the first elevator controlled by a lever instead of a rope.
That's right.
Your father was the first operator to reach the top of the Empire State Building.
Yes, that's right.
I don't suppose I ought to tell you this now, but... Well, you're in line to be my assistant starter.
No.
Yes, my aide-de-camp.
Well.
Now. How can you hate the service?
Oh, well, I really don't hate it, sir. It's just that, well, I'm just over-romanticized. The glamour of it, you know. Kipling and all that.
That isn't time for Kipling in the service, sir. If you want a kipple, you had better resign.
I'm sorry, sir. I meant Kipling as in cars. Cars. Going up and down again. Cars. Cars. And we don't stop when they ring.
That's the spirit, lad. No one can say that who could hate the service.
Oh, no, sir. I don't hate the service. Sometimes it makes me feel very high. And other times, as today, I feel very low.
Every elevator operator has his ups and downs.
That's the trouble, sir. Just up and down. Up and down! Sometimes I feel as though I'm in a rut. I joined the service to see action.
And you are seeing action, my boy.
Captain Crosby, do you think I'll ever be able to run my elevator sideways?
Sideways? What are you saying, sir?
No.
Are you trying to destroy what hundreds of men have spent their lives building up? Have you no regard for tradition? Are you trying to tear down the system?
I guess it's no use. I guess I'm just not meant for an elevator service. I wish I joined the Navy. Now, there's real service. See the world. Why, I haven't even seen the 28th floor of this building. How long do you think a guy can stand that local run to the 9th floor and back? Have you ever seen what's on the 9th floor?
What?
A fat man with an umbrella. Sometimes I feel as though I'd like to stop for him.
Well, you'd get a faster car than the local to the 9th someday, son. Why don't you practice a little? Practice at home with the dumb waiter.
The dumb waiter at home?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's me.
At any rate, you must remember that we can't move too fast. A butterfly must be a caterpillar and crawl before he can fly.
Oh, I guess you're right, Captain Crosby. I guess I'm just too impulsive.
There's no place for impulsiveness in the service, lad. A man must be steady. And as the cannibal chief said as he threw the missionary into the pot, a man must be seasoned.
Yeah, but why must a man be corny?
Please, Bracken. For a moment, I'm going to ask you to forget that I'm your superior officer. Think of me as your father.
Well, all right, but it's not going to do my ego any good to come in fifth.
You know, son, I'm not as young as I used to be. Someday, I shall have to retire. We all come to it, you know, someday.
Yeah.
When I do, there must be a man ready to carry on in my place.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to have that man be you, son.
Oh.
And don't forget, the man who gets promoted to my job gets a prize.
He does? Is that... Could I say it, sir?
Oh, no. You've never felt the thrill, the mental, physical stimulus of starting a flight of elevators, of marching up and down the hall in front of all the cars, ignoring civil questions, coming smartly to attention in front of each car, eyes bright, head erect, and then the...
And then, sir?
And then saying, take it away, and clicking your cricket.
Gosh, that's wonderful. May I click it?
No, son, not yet. Not until you've won the right to click it. Proved yourself worthy of the service. Proved yourself capable of starting an elevator. Proved yourself worthy to stand with men whose names are written large in the history of the elevator service. Men like Skittlesby.
What did he do?
Skittlesby? Why, he kept fit. Skittlesby kept 13 people from riding in a 12-passenger elevator.
No!
Fantastic feat of heroism.
Yeah, sounds ripping.
Well, it didn't show much. He was decorated, of course.
They gave him a medal?
No, a black eye. And then there was Lindquist. Great strapping fellow. Oh, you should have seen him handle a notice. What a man with a notice. He did 40 floors in 5 seconds flat.
What happened to his passengers?
They ran second.
Oh, tell me more of this fascinating lore.
Perhaps you've heard of Toohey?
You don't mean two-way Toohey, who went bluey.
The same. Lost in action. Lost in action because he was a dreamer.
Oh, what happened to Toohey who went bluey, Captain Cahoosby?
He drove his car like mad to the 55th floor, and he was never heard from again.
You mean he never came down from the 55th floor?
He never came down.
Well, gee, didn't anyone go in search of him? Didn't anyone go up to the 55th floor to get...
Quite impossible, son, quite impossible. Because, you see, the building only had 43 floors. I'm a spreadly guy. Yes, Bracken, those things are pretty frightening, pretty frightening. But that's the elevator service, you know. I could go on and on telling you more stories about the service.
I know, sir, but you won't, will you?
No. No, I'm through, Eddie. But I just couldn't resist telling you about that boy who wanted to leave the service. You know, of course, who that boy was, Eddie.
Yes, sir. It was me, sir.
You mean it was I, sir?
Was it really you?
So what do you know? I thought it was me.
No. It was I, sir, just as sure as the skirling of the pipes in the Highlands have brought the thrilling touch of a million little needles to the tough old hide of every Scotsman as far back as the days when the three descendants of David, brother of William, the line of Scotland, laid claim to the throne. As far back as when William Wallace fought Edward indirectly, forcing him to sign Magna Carta. And back, back, back through all the glorious history of Scotland, the pipes have played a very lovely melody that goes something like this. Do you remember? By yon bonny banks and by yon bonny braes, where the sun shines bright on Loch Lomond, where me and my true love were ever one to gaze. On the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond. Oh, ye take the high road, I'll take the low road, and I'll be in Scotland before ye. But me and my true love will never meet again. On the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond.
By yon bonny banks and by yon bonny brae, where the sun shines bright on Loch Lomond, where me and my true love were ever wont to gaze. On the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond.
Oh, you take the high road, I'll take the low road, I'll be in Scotland before you. But me and my true love will never meet again. On the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond. Nothing more Scottish than Loch Lomond. Nothing more Scottish than the salmon in the lochs. And if you don't think that's on the level, listen to Ken. Take it, laddie boy. If you'll
you'll pardon my saying so, Dr. Crosby, have you ever thought of taking up ice skating?
Taking it up, sir? I have long been considered quite a cutter on skates.
Yes, a bit of a blade on the blades.
That's so.
That's right. That's funny. I've never seen you over at Pasadena or the Polar Palace or the Pan Pacific.
Oh, those are all inside rinks, Carpenter. I'm an outdoor man.
Well, in that case, if you prefer ice skating at an outdoor rink, surely you can pick one out of the three most popular outdoor rinks.
Huh?
Well, here's the list.
Oh, yeah.
The three outdoor rinks are... Those are the three rinks.
Coast-to-coast rinks.
Yes.
Big rink. Well, glad to tell them, Carp. Couldn't be sure whether you rang a rink or whether your ring was rank. I did, but check with me later, will you? While I proceed as rapidly as possible with craft music hall business, from which I will be only too happy to include yous out, I figure I'm going to be kept busier than a bird dog here now with Burns and the Thurston Knudsen Augie Goupil Percussion Group at Connie Boswell and this John Scott Trotter treatment of Manhattan, an old Rogers and Hart song. Scotty and Connie whirled it a bit while I was sunning in Sun Valley.
Did you hear it, Bing?
Oh, it come in like puri mongo.
Could have been worse, you know. Could have been gumbo. Mm-hmm. By the way, Bing, did you like the way John Scott and I decided to treat it?
She means she treated it and I beat it.
Yeah, but you beat it too late.
I'm beating it now, Bing. And if you think it's so easy, you try it yourself.
We'll have Manhattan, the Bronx and Staten Island too. It's lovely going through the zoo. It's very fancy on old Delancey Street, you know.
The subway charms us so when balmy breezes blow.
Well, let them blow. And tell me what street compares with Mott Street in July. Sweet pushcarts gently gliding by. The great big city's a wondrous toy, just made for a girl and boy. We'll turn Manhattan into an Isle of Joy.
We'll go to Greenwich,
where modern men itch to be free. And Bowling Green you'll see with me. We'll bathe at Brighton.
The fish will frighten when you're in.
Your bathing suit so thin will make the shellfish grin.
Fin to fin.
That's ten. A short vacation on Inspiration Point we'll spend. And in the station house we'll end. The city's clamor can never spoil the dreams of a boy and girl. We'll turn Manhattan into a technopoint.
What is that? What?
Oh, pardon me, Bing. That's a new number that I'm writing. Listen.
Sound like that same old thing.
No.
New wrinkle?
No, listen.
Tone higher, huh?
Listen to this.
Come here.
Bum, bum, bum. 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 Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum.
What do you think of it?
I think the words describe it pretty well.
Well, you can laugh if you want to, Bing, but I want to tell you something. Them songs you're singing...
No good.
People are going to forget them.
Well, they're BMI.
But I got a letter from a man... I got a letter from a man last week, and this man told me that he remembers every song I ever played here
he
on
does?
The Craft Music Hall. He said there's something about my music that sticks.
Oh, you can talk plainer than that.
I bet you anything in the world is a lot of people listening to me out there that wonder how in the world I ever got in show business. Well, I know you're laughing about it, but I'm going to tell you. It all started down home when I won the hog calling championship of Crawford County. And then I started going around and playing the rest of the fairs, doing this hog calling act. It was a regular act. I had my own agent. It's the truth. I gave him 10% of everything that answered. And then I started in vaudeville. I started doing a monologue. And I used a pig in the act there. That pig had plenty to do. He ate all the stuff that people throw. And then later on, I started playing the piano in my act. I remember because I had to put on another pig. I guess I, somehow or other, my heart just ain't in my piano playing tonight. I suppose you noticed it. But I was just kind of thinking, Lionel Barrymore being on the show tonight with us, I was thinking how much we've got in common. Now all of Lionel Barrymore's, all of his family, every one of them is an actor. Well, so are mine. Now, you may not know this, but now for every member he's got in his family that's an actor, I've got a member of my family to match him. Let's see. Now, he's got his sister, Ethel. I've got my Aunt Peachy Sims. He's got his brother, John, and I got my Uncle Slug. I'm sorry you laughed at that. I didn't mean it that way at all. John Barrymore is a friend of mine, and I like him, and he's one of the greatest actors we've ever had in the United States. That's the truth. The only trouble with John is that 40 years ago, a newspaper critic called him a celebrated actor, and he's been celebrating ever since. The reason I mentioned my Uncle Slug was because my Uncle Slug was in show business, too. He used to be. He used to be a tight rope walker. But he gave it up because one night he went to do his act and the rope wasn't tight, and he was. And then the reason I mentioned my Aunt Peachy Sims was because she used to be in show business. She sang in every home talent play we put on in King's Opera House in Van Buren. She used to do a mighty pretty number. I remember the name of it was I Wonder If He'll Miss Me. And I'll never forget this night. She was just pouring her heart out in this song. And when she reached those high notes where she sang, I Wonder If He'll Miss Me, some uncouth man up in the balcony yelled down, if he does, sister, he oughtn't to ever be trusted with a gun again. I've never told this before, but all my aunts were in a chorus back there. They danced this chorus on the stage, and they danced in tights. And they called it the Shapes of Wrath. There wasn't a member of my family that wasn't in the show business down there. And there wasn't anybody in the show except my kin folks. That is, all except my one uncle. That's my Uncle Skinny Flint. That's my stingy uncle. He was in the box office. I can just see him now. I can just see Uncle Skinny sitting there in that box office with a roll of tickets in one hand and a sponge in the other. The sponge was to wrap on the window in case somebody forgot his chain. But now, I don't know why I'm sitting here pouring my heart out to you people. You don't care anything about that. It just happened that last night I got to reminiscing about those old days. And I couldn't help thinking how different my reception is today, or it was last night, from what it used to be. I made a personal appearance last night. I gave a piano recital in the gold room of the farmer's market. And I couldn't help thinking, as I was there last night, I couldn't help thinking what a difference it was in my reception. Have I improved so much, or maybe am I playing before a higher class audience? I didn't know what it was, but it was so different from the days when people used to throw tomatoes. Last night they threw avocados. Yes, sir, I want to tell you a lot of water has run under the bridge since those days. In fact, there's been so much water just night before last, it took the bridge with it.
Is that the finish, Bob?
Yeah, that's the finish. You can go on now doing whatever you're supposed to do around here.
I've been doing much but giggling. I can't giggle a lot. Go right in, John.
I dreamed that my sweetheart was taking a moonlight walk. I spoke to the moon, but the moon won't talk. I know that silly old moon saw that I'm mad at the moon, 'cause the moon won't talk. I've lost my lonely heart. I fell asleep, and when I wakened with a start, she tossed my foolish heart back to the world and kicked the world apart. I'm through. I'll have nothing to do with that moonlight walk. I hate the moon because the moon won't talk. And when I wakened with a start, she tossed my foolish heart back to the world and kicked the world apart. I'm through. I'll have nothing to do with that moonlight walk. I hate the moon because the moon won't.
Thurston Knudsen and Augie Goupil are among the country's outstanding exponents of primitive native rhythms. Consultants on such jungle jobs as Stanley and Livingston and south of Pago Pago, Thurston Knudsen and Augie Goupil have made a number of highly regarded record albums and are considered two of the top Toscaninis on the tom-toms. By way of illustration, Thurston and Augie offer their interpretation of a Tahitian conga called Orare Orare. Sounds like an Irish love song, but it's actually Tahitian. With Augie handling the woodblock and the vocal, Thurston on the pahu, or bass drum, assisted by Alan Gonzalez on the güiro. That's sort of a notched gourd that you rub a stick against, and Jose Heredia at the Cuban timpani. Bing Crosby will be at the back door in the starting blocks. But no kidding, this is really something different, so listen well.
Hit it, divinity. Away the alloy. Away the bois.
That's what I keep telling them down at the stable, Augie. But... but that was fine. That was fine, Augie. Really swell. Didn't you care for that, Bob?
Well, I liked it, Bing, but I don't exactly understand it.
Well, tell him how to understand it, Augie.
You better not, Augie. I'm afraid if I start understanding that rhythm, people ain't they're going to stop understanding me.
You don't have to understand it, Bob. You feel it. But I think maybe Thurston can explain it better than I can.
It's just a matter of being motor-minded, Bob.
Well, I am. I drive a car.
Well, by motor-minded, I mean you think with your muscles.
That won't do. Bob's muscle-bound.
Tropical people think with their muscles, and their drum music makes people want to move. That's what we call compulsive rhythm. For example, in Orare Orare, you have this Tahitian rhythm. And against that Tahitian rhythm, we play Cuban conga rhythm, like this. When you hear that, it makes you want to move.
Well, if there's much of that going on at my place, I'd be forced to move.
Well, tell me something, Thurston. How come these different native rhythms blend together so well?
Well, all primitive or unrestrained rhythm comes from a common source.
Yeah, but just what is this source you claim all rhythms come from?
An insistent elf, that Constance. Isn't she ever seeking the truth?
Well, that's hard to say. Probably something very simple and elemental. Perhaps man first became conscious of rhythm while walking. The natural tendency of the hand to slap against the side. Something like this. Or even a chicken follows the same elementary rhythm pattern when it cackles. Cut, 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 cut.
Next time you want a rumble lesson, Bing, drop into your hen house.
No, I think I'd rather drop in on Carmen Miranda.
We can give you the same effect as Carmen Miranda with a drum.
I'd still rather have Carmen Miranda.
I see what you mean. I had in mind the effect we get when we play the samba, the dance that Carmen popularized in this country. The samba's another variety of compulsive rhythm played like this. There's no jerk in the basic rhythm. The singer has to supply the jerks.
Seems to leave it squarely up to you, Bing.
Well, as I started to say, Bing, Carmen Miranda's voice supplies the syncopation, the interrupting idea in the basic rhythm. She does the same thing with her voice that Bill Robinson does with his feet. It's the primitive rhythm of the Africans beating on their tom-toms. We get the effect on our pahu, like this.
You head him off the gulch, Bob. I'll get him up at the draw. Just to give you an even better idea what all that sounds like when you merge the primitive African conga with the rhythm of the samba against a background of John Scott Trotter, ever a beautiful background, Augie Goupil, Thurston Knudsen, and the company are going to play Brazilian Nights. Very interesting, very educational, and one of the best interpretations of South American rhythm that I ever hope to hear. Just to give us a sample of what's going on up in North America, Connie's going to give us her very best interpretation of May I Never Love Again.
May I never see the sun go down. May I never feel the falling rain. If the love that I declare isn't all that's right and fair, may I never love again. May I never see the blue of the sky, nor the moon and stars down low. May I never live a day if I don't mean what I say. May I never love again. Sweetheart, when I'm with you, I'm not a foolish pretender. Love me too. All I possess, I'd surrender. May I never feel your tender lips. May you never take my love in vain. You're the answer to my prayer, but if your love isn't there, may I never. No, I'll never love again.
It's a lovely song, Connie, and thank you. But any girl that never wants to love again is definitely in need of a talking to, and I've got the man to buzz you. Ken, give out with the talking to.
In the springtime of life, Nell and I, with all our gushing joys in their bloom. But now we've met the world, busy strife, and I, and suffered from its dark, chilling gloom. Yet my heart will sigh for those days gone by that flow in my memory's sweet refrain. We parted in the spring time of life, Nell and I, and I'll never see her bright smiles again.
That about gets it for this Thursday evening in the Old Craft Music Hall, friends. There'll be another meeting next Thursday, the same time we got started tonight. Same group, too, except that Connie Burns, Trotter Carpenter, and I are going to be joined by such amiable citizens as our friend young Jack Cooper, Lou Novikov, outstanding Coast League ball player last season who just signed with the Chicago Cubs, and the popular piano duo Fields and Fingerly. Ought to make quite a little group. See if you can join Burns, Connie, Carp, Trotter, and me next Thursday. Until then, adios.
Tune in the Kraft Music Hall next week at the same time to hear all the gang with our guests, Jack Cooper, Lou Novikov, and the piano team, Fields and Fingerly. The Kraft Music Hall comes to you from Hollywood's Radio City.
The Rudy Valley Seal Test Program will follow immediately on many of these same stations. This is the National Broadcasting Company.